tension force continued. Context matters. A progressive in one age might suggest treating the slaves more gently, but not suggest freeing them, because it's a hopelessly optimistic non-starter of an idea in her society. She might even feel that that much change is rash. A conservative in another time might take freeing the slaves for granted, but not give a hoot if they then live or die. The baseline shifts, but the roles don't. This is worth stopping to consider. Your specific beliefs about how things should be handled right now are not what makes you conservative or progressive, but rather your opposition to whatever the other side says about the issue. Conservative and progressive define each other with the context of the existing tension force. It isn't about the issue, it's about the attitude. In this way, the local reality is defined. It's clear that these types are a predictable part of human population dynamics because every human group generates them automatically. In early hunter-gatherer tribes, this tension force already existed as individual personality characteristics. Some individuals in the tribe were curious and open to strangers, and some attacked them on sight. The resulting intrafamilial compromise of handling the tension between these sides was important. It was like the surface tension of the tribe. It had to be open enough to let some things in and closed enough to keep some stuff out. The tribe is an organism, and this behavior is its self-management as it relates to the outside world. Tension force scales up and down automatically with population size. This coined idea of political tension force isn't a mystical power controlling us from the outside. It's an emergent property of something that we do naturally. As individuals, we show a range of open or closed responses to strangers and different cultures and behaviors, and political tension forces just a scaled-up expression of the masses of people holding a similar range of instinctive opinions as a kind of a hive mind. These hive minds express the dominant traits constructed from the local tension force. In a simple, colorful way, we could compare it to how defensive an insect hive is. Maybe North Korea is like killer bees and Canada is like calm honeybees. Small towns and big cities naturally lean more conservative or more progressive by type as a logical outcome of caring for few or caring for many. Liberalism is about the problem of caring for many. Conservatism is about the problem of caring for few. In every generation, the same basic proportions of opponents are born. Is there some system maintaining the population density of these opposing sides? Whether there are sophisticated species-level algorithms controlling any of these things, I don't know. This is not science. It's just observation. It's possible, though, because our homeostasis includes many diverse human elements also delivered in the same consistent proportions year after year. I suspect that conservatives will tend to be the slightly larger group because the forces that drive human behavior don't throw caution to the winds. Resistance to change is a braking system, preserving the identity of the culture. A modest conservative majority keeps whatever structure has been accomplished here from suddenly destabilizing. Yet over time, successes have piled up on the progressive side in a way that starts to seem inevitable, if really gradual. Generally, conservatives are reasonably happy with these outcomes as long as they were born into that outcome, rather than watching a cultural transition to it. As deep as the entirely natural dislike is between progressives and conservatives, we absolutely need each other for our communities to maintain balance and internal integrity. One maintains, the other reforms. This is a system for preserving our structure, but opening it for editing out things that are too cruel or unjust. To imagine chaos and collapse, picture either side completely and absolutely empowered. The other side is disenfranchised and subverted. Picture one team in the tug of war disappearing, leaving the other in complete control. The thing is, they don't stop pulling. Instead, they begin to pull against themselves internally, because that is all they have left. In the natural course of seeking balance through opposition, they begin to tear into their own flesh in search of otherness. Neither can stop posing, because that is the mechanistic yet essential role they play. A lack of opposition is a state dangerously out of balance. It develops a cultural autoimmune system disorder, starting to attack its own healthy tissue for not being pure enough. This unbalanced state is essentially what political correctness is for both sides. Deprived of healthy pushback, there is a spike of purity madness on the left and loyalty madness on the right that begins searching for enemies within. Blacklists, loyalty oaths, and purge trials do a good job of generating some opposition. It's grimly funny, but in doing so, they actually begin to create the opposing force and reestablish some kind of balance.